Hello, this is your Polycast for Wednesday, December 14th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, St. Paul Mayor Chris Coleman is running for governor, and Governor Mark Dayton wants lawmakers to reach a deal on a special session. St. Paul Mayor Chris Coleman says he's a candidate for Minnesota governor in 2018. Brian Baxter reports.
Less than 2 weeks ago, Coleman announced he wouldn't seek a fourth term as the capital city's mayor. It was widely assumed he'd run for the state's top political job. In making his announcement, Coleman described himself as someone with a proven record of getting things done in an executive role.
I have 11 years in an executive position where I've had to make the tough decisions to balance out the interests of a lot of different aspects of the community. I have a proven track record of working on behalf of jobs and public safety and education.
The DFLer says he believes he can connect with voters from both small towns and big cities. He filed the paperwork allowing him to raise money and start building out a campaign. The race is expected to be crowded in both parties because incumbent DFL Governor Mark Dayton isn't running again. Coleman's fellow St. Paul Democrat, State Representative Aaron Murphy, has also launched a campaign. Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Governor Mark Dayton says it's now or never for legislators to agree on the agenda for a potential special session. He gave top lawmakers until Thursday to sign off on a deal. At a minimum, he wants them to pass a rebate plan next week for people struggling with rising health insurance premiums for coverage bought through the open market.
If people are going to be true to what they campaigned on, and all the concerns they expressed back then, which are valid concerns, then we'll have a special session next Tuesday to pass the premium relief bill.
Dayton says he's still willing to sign a construction borrowing bill and a tax cut bill if negotiations result in compromise, but there has to be agreement on both. Lawmakers tentatively hope to convene the special session just a couple of weeks before the 2017 budget-setting session is due to begin. Republican House Speaker Kurt Dowd said there are still some disagreements about the list of public construction projects in the bonding bill.
I think we can get there. I don't think we're quite there yet on agreement on those issues, but we're working towards it, and I think we're making good progress.
Dowd said Dayton's agreement to use money from the health care fund to help offset big insurance rate hikes makes sense. He says lawmakers are standing by waiting to hear if they need to be in St. Paul next Tuesday. Teachers and students at St. Paul's Como Park High School say they're getting a fresh start this year after several high-profile incidents of student violence last year. But even as things settle down, insiders say the perception of their neighborhood school never really lined up that well with reality. Solveig Wastvedt has the story.
As an education reporter, I made a fair number of phone calls about Como Park Senior High School last year. There was this time when students punched a teacher in March. And while St. Paul teachers negotiated their new contract, Como got trotted out as an example of unsafe conditions for the district's teachers. But with every mention, I got pushback. People said I hadn't seen the real Como. So I set out on 2 months of reporting. I talked to people at Como, and I went to activities, like the first home game for the girls' basketball team that made it to the state tournament last year. I squeezed into the student section with the madly cheering fans who packed the gym that night. Then, all of a sudden, there was this tension in the air. Some boys came down the bleachers and shoved their way to the door. I saw cops gathering outside. Oh no, I thought. Was this about to be another Como incident? The court cleared.
If y'all want this game to continue, we cannot have... This night is called African American Family Night. And it's called It Takes a Village.
Parents in the next bleacher over started cheering at that idea. Students behind me didn't seem all that worried. They were still singing along to the music.
Let's continue this game, ladies. Let's go.
I found out later there'd been signs of a fight, but nothing happened. As I watched the players run back on the court, I got lost in thought about this community and about how determined it is to move on. Elsewhere at Como, I heard that the school does feel different this year. Teachers talked about a new discipline strategy that's supposed to help prevent outbursts, and about new staff in the halls. One day after school, I stopped by the biology department. I picked a somber day to come. The class tarantula had just died, and students and staff were headed outside to dig a grave. Everybody stood around while one student lit a bit of sage in a Native American prayer ritual. It was one of those quiet moments that outsiders wouldn't normally see. Kids being kids, earnest, and invested in their school. Science teacher Dylan Adair said last year he fought to remind students of this side of themselves.
I was a cheerleader at that time for our students. Like, hey, you guys, like, you know, we can go. Let's keep going. Like, that's not who we are. Every day you can do the best that you can do and you can make it the school that we are, that we know we are.
Adair has been at the school almost 6 years. He said Como, just east of the zoo of the same name, is unique because it's a real neighborhood school.
Whether you're walking here from whatever, you know, whatever direction, you pass the lakes, you go through woods, the conservatory is right down the road. There's all these like cool landmarks.
Demographically, Como has changed over time. 20 years ago, it was just about half white students. Now it's about a third each, Asian and Black students, with only about a quarter white. It has higher enrollment than some other St. Paul high schools, but almost everyone I talked to described Como as the small school. On a Saturday morning in the high school gym, I started to get an idea why. It was a competition for the school's Junior Reserve Officers Training Corps. Students went through drill routines in front of judges, stepping along to barked commands from their peers. In just a few minutes, I met a handful of people for whom Como High School is a family legacy, like senior Yoshi Lee.
My dad and my various families went to Como, and so it's kind of like a tradition passed down from our family to go to Como.
Across the table from Lee sat Eduardo Mendoza, the student in charge here. His manners were as polished and crisp as the uniform hat he kept tucked under his arm. I asked, and Eduardo rattled off a list of kids whose aunts, uncles, and parents had gone to Como. Eduardo said his family didn't go here, but the JROTC program helped him fit in with the old-timers.
The way you build a team is to get close with each other. You have to know each other, and in our class, our JROTC class, you end up getting really close with these people.
I heard that about other programs, too. Como is known for its advanced placement classes and for a four-year business program called the Academy of Finance. Those students told me they're a tight group. They take classes together and they get credits through a local college, and they even have matching sweatshirts. So, into that community came last year.
When Como is portrayed like that to all of St. Paul, all of Minnesota, when that's on the news like that, then it's like, I don't want to tell people I'm from Como.
Junior Zarina Cementelli is on the girls' basketball team, and she's in a group that works with city officials on community improvement projects. Zarina said the Como she knows doesn't feel cohesive, but it's not just fights. Zarina said portrayals of violence just feed into what she thinks is long-term neglect of her school.
If you go to this school and then you go out to like Edina or Hopkins or something like that, the school is just a lot more cleaner. It's just the resources are phenomenal compared to Como.
While it's impossible to say what causes conflicts, there may be more to Zarina's point. Como lost the equivalent of 4 full-time staff this year with budget cuts from the district. Bigger classes make it harder to identify which students need help. Como also has only one social worker for all the students who aren't in special education. Principal Teresa Neal says this year the resources she does have are focused on restorative practices. The model has teachers take out time to talk in a group with a class and build up relationships. Supporters say it can help prevent behavior problems, and it can also be used for discipline.
We just needed to be focused, and so our expectation for this year is, how do we build community towards becoming a restorative school?
Como's also getting a facelift starting this summer, $35 million for plans for a new athletic field, building additions, and upgrades. Before I left, I asked Zarina Cementelli one more time if she's proud to go to Como. Surprisingly, given the rest of our conversation, she said yes.
I'm proud because I can change the dynamic of what Como should be, or who Como students, what Como students should look like. Because if I go to Como and people see me being successful and being a part of the community, then it's like maybe all Como kids aren't that bad.
Like any school, it turns out that Como is the sum of what's inside. Covering education, I'm Solveig Wastvedt, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Wednesday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.